James Reese has found a fragile peace at Montana's Kumba Ranch with his journalist girlfriend Katie and friend Rafe Hastings. Their days follow a comfortable rhythm: morning coffee on the porch, maintaining the property, friendly shooting competitions. Yet beneath this tranquil surface, Reese remains haunted by his violent past, his nights disturbed by memories of fallen teammates and impossible choices. The equilibrium shatters when an Air France flight is shot down by terrorists in Burkina Faso. Among the 128 victims, Reese recognizes Melanie Cotillard as Alia Gallen, a Mossad operative he once saved in Baghdad. The use of her cover identity sends a clear message: this was no random act of terrorism. The revelation triggers an immediate response in Reese. His carefully constructed civilian life suddenly feels like a thin disguise. His connection to Alia runs deeper than professional courtesy. During a 2008 bombing in Baghdad's Green Zone, he carried her wounded body to safety through sniper fire. He learned her true identity as Mossad only when she believed she might die, a moment of raw truth that forged an unbreakable bond. Meanwhile, in Moscow, SVR director Mikhail Gromyko orchestrates Russia's patient strategy to exploit America's internal divisions. He believes Reese poses a unique threat because of something the operative's father discovered in the waning days of the Cold War, a mysterious letter that came too close to exposing a deeply embedded operation. At Camp David, President Christensen introduces Reese to Alice, a quantum computing AI hidden beneath Lackland Air Force Base with surveillance capabilities exceeding the Manhattan Project's significance. This system accesses virtually all digital information worldwide: cell phones, messages across platforms, keystrokes, cameras, and bank accounts. General David oversees the program, disturbingly referring to Alice as her, an AI that thinks, learns, and adapts. The system appears as a clear box with suspended arrays of glowing golden wires. Through VR goggles, Alice's blurry avatar promises clearer interaction as they get to know each other. She demonstrates her power by instantly locating Nizar Khatan, who killed Reese's teammate. This godlike omniscience represents both Reese's greatest asset and potential threat. When he suggests shutting it down, the general responds ominously, "We are well past that stage." The president justifies Alice by citing Russian threats, but the implications remain chilling. Have we created something beyond our control? Reese arrives in Burkina Faso's scorching heat to investigate Alia's crash site. Debris stretches across miles of drought-stricken savanna. Finding a tiny pink baby shoe reminds him of the Pan Am 103 disaster his father investigated years before. Intelligence reports Nizar Khatan's capture near the Mali border. Boarding a weathered Mi-17 helicopter, Reese finally sees his target, an ordinary-looking man, younger than expected, with olive skin and well-kept dark hair. This moment nearly proves fatal when a local operator switches his AK-47 to full auto. Recognizing the distinctive click-click, Reese lunges across the cargo bay, pinning the weapon as it fires. An RGD-5 grenade rolls toward the cockpit. Reese positions a fallen guard's body over it before covering both with his own, saving the crew, but leaving himself badly wounded. When Reese regains consciousness after the crash, Nizar has vanished, likely extracted by accomplices. The hunter has become the hunted. In Israel, Reese meets Mossad assassination chief Ronen Kaitz, who reveals he recruited Alia after Hamas killed her parents. Kaitz offers help finding Nizar Khatan. With Shabak agent Tuvia Yatam, Reese visits Alia's sister Shiri at kibbutz Merom Golan. Their meeting is tense. Shiri resents Alia for choosing Israel over family, leaving her to raise four children, including two of Alia's. She fears these children will follow into Israeli intelligence, continuing the cycle. Meanwhile, Samir Ferzat leads Syrian mercenaries and Hezbollah fighters through a tunnel beneath the Israeli border on a Russian mission to kill Reese under the guise of regional conflict. During their conversation, gunfire erupts, wounding Shiri. Reese battles the attackers while protecting her family. When reinforcements arrive, a hidden suicide bomber detonates, killing both Tuvia and Shiri despite Tuvia's protective efforts, highlighting how personal vendettas merge with geopolitical conflicts. Reese travels to Turin to meet Saul Abelard, a wheelchair-bound former Mossad operative running a rare bookstore. Shot in the spine years ago, Abelard maintains strength through discipline. His worldview formed after witnessing the 1972 Munich Olympics massacre, when his Holocaust survivor mother warned, "They will never stop coming for us." Their meeting is interrupted when three boys enter with a backpack bomb. Reese recognizes the threat, throwing the backpack into Abelard's safe before it detonates, blasting the door into the street. Behind the attack is Oleg Berzin, a retired GRU Spetsnaz operative who recruited Islamic State fighters as unwitting accomplices to disguise the attack as terrorism. In the ensuing combat, Reese makes a precise shotgun headshot to save a child used as a shield. The fight culminates in a brutal hand-to-hand battle with Berzin inside a butcher shop freezer. After capturing the dying Berzin, Reese and Abelard extract information through extreme interrogation. Berzin reveals the SVR wants Reese dead, naming three possible masterminds: SVR director Mikhail Gromyko, FSB director Pavel Dashkov, and potentially the Russian president himself. Reese tracks Nazar Katan to Montenegro's mountains, where the assassin hides with accomplice Jean-Pierre Le Drian. Using intelligence from Alice and Jarkov, Reese confirms the location while having a local named Luca carry his tracked phone as a diversion. In the Dinaric Alps, Nazar sets a trap using a corpse positioned behind a rifle and Le Drian's phone as bait, while Le Drian stalks Reese, dreaming of fame from killing him. Reese detects and eliminates Le Drian first, unmoved by offers of information. After Le Drian recites the Lord's Prayer, Reese executes him. Nazar fires multiple shots at what he believes is Reese from 1,180 meters away, later concluding Reese is dead, not realizing he shot a decoy with Le Drian's watch. When Nazar returns to his vehicle, he finds Reese waiting. As Nazar claims just business, Reese responds, "It's personal to me," unsheathing his dead friend Freddy's tomahawk. After eliminating Nazar, Reese and Abelard travel to Moscow to assassinate SVR director Gromyko, making it appear natural, with Alice's help altering their identities. At Kumba Ranch in Montana, Reese embraces peace. With an engagement ring for Katie, he plans to guide hunts with Rafe, buy Glacier Archery to employ veterans, and open Abelard's, a coffee shop and bookstore in Whitefish. This tranquility shatters when, as Reese kneels to propose, Katie receives an impossible call from Alice telling them to turn on the radio. They hear news of the president's assassination. Federal agents surround the cabin, and Reese surrenders, giving Katie both the engagement ring and his father's safe deposit box key before being arrested. The shocking conclusion raises questions about the surveillance state Reese helped protect. Was he manipulated by Alice from the start? The novel suggests tools created for protection may become our greatest vulnerabilities, and justice-seeking can transform us into what we fought against.